Chapter 1. Blessed are the poor in spirit, part 1. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. As you know, the Sermon on the Mount begins this way. We find this sermon in the Gospel, according to Matthew, but also, in various forms, in the Holy Scriptures of all times. Even though the place and time and the holy personages who proclaimed it varied, consider ably, its meaning did not. The mountain is a magnificent symbol, illustrating the path leading from the darkness to the light. The base of the mountain is planted firmly in the earth. The peak rises into heaven. Therefore, it is clear that such a mountain, from whose peak the word of liberation shall be heard, is, above all else, a symbol of the sevenfold living body of a Gnostic development. Jesus the Lord, the Exalted One, the Perfect One, the Liberated Brother who addresses the multitude present in the living body, is in fact preparing to speak to his disciples. One meaning of the word disciple is younger one. Therefore, the Sermon on the Mount is intended for all those who have started their course upon the true path and who are still the younger ones with regard to the liberated older ones. Thus, the Sermon on the Mount is of great importance for all those who are present in the living body of our young Gnostic brotherhood. We find there the outline of an attitude of life which will invariably lead to the great aim. This important address opens with a glorious consolation, with the Beatitudes. As many as 9 times it is said, blessed are, not blessed shall be, but blessed are. Blessedness is a state of the greatest happiness, a true state of liberation. There are many younger ones in a Gnostic body. They are on their way to the house of the Father, and even as they are on their way, they are greeted with the 9 times repeated, blessed are, where the emphasis is placed on are. The mere fact of them being in the living body of the school as serious pupils renders their liberation a reality. Now this is what characterizes the Gnostic life. It does not produce supreme happiness, but it is happiness, it is blessedness. Therefore, and the world history of the Gnostics bears this out fully, a Gnostic is and always was a cheerful and happy being, no matter what befell him in the nature of death. His sense of security is not instilled in him by the power of suggestion, as a person may be brainwashed by psychoanalysis with a, you are happy, but it is the certainty derived from the experience of, I am on my way, and while I advance on the path, the light comes to meet me, it enters into me, it will never more leave me, neither by day nor by night. The rose blooms, it gives off its sweet fragrance. Because of this, I am going to walk the path of roses, upon which the light attracts me and is my guide. Should not the one who has such an experience be happy? How could such a one ever be really harmed in going his way through the depths of difficulty of these times? All of us, without exception, can gain consciousness from these experiences this very second. The only condition is that you begin to seek for the light, to crave for the light, out of real inner need and with your entire being. Not by willing or thinking, or with feelings of sentimentality, but with a craving that proceeds from your blood state, with an urge to which all the organs of your intelligence must be subservient. Then the first beatitude, blessed are those who crave for the Spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven be, comes a reality for you. From that instant on, the mansions of the new realm are opened wide to you. Come to the light, delay no longer, partake of the fire, and be free.